Good morning, and welcome to worship this morning. The warmest of welcomes to our visitors, to those joining us on live streaming, and to all of our friends gathered here. Thank you to Derek and Jasmine, who will lead us in our music today, and for people serving on the desk. I'm sure we'll look forward to a good service. During this past week, there was a group of international mission leaders who came here. Erin Kerber from the LCA International Mission organised it with Pastor Nigel, and during the week they had focused on different spiritual practices and devotions, and so they came here to experience the labyrinth. Now, many of us have already done that. They were able to walk through the labyrinth in the main hall and the welcome hall, and then go up to the college and walk the Stations of the Cross and the prayer labyrinth up there. So what a wonderful experience they would have had. Coming up in a few weeks' time, we've got the Wisdom and Wellbeing workshop on Friday the 2nd of August. If you're interested in this, have a look at the desk that's in the library, because there are papers there that you can browse through that will give you some information about it, and there's a sign-up sheet. It says here, we can learn how to develop a healthy mind, we can transform your life using neuroscience principles, and discover how to read your dashboard and boost your well-being. All things that will enhance our lives. So if you're interested, make sure you check it out. There are lots of things that come through the weekly community news to us, and when we get it online, much more than what you might get from the printed copy that you might pick up on a Sunday morning. So if you haven't subscribed to it yet, I'd encourage you to do that. But let's turn our minds now to worship. We are called together to worship God, who reaches out to us in grace and love. God calls us to live lives of justice, to show kindness and goodness. As the body of Christ, let us be centered in his truth, to follow where he leads and not to count the cost. Loving God, creator of community and bringer of peace, help us to be aware of your presence as we worship. Open to us the truth of your living word. Guide us by your Spirit, that we may know your will for our lives and for all creation. Instill in us the courage to follow where you lead, that we might be people of justice and faith. Amen. And please join us now in our first song.
Found in you, let all I am be all you want me to be, 'cause all I want is more of you, all I want is more of you. Let your presence fall upon us, I want to see you face to face. Let me live forever lost in your love, 'cause all I want is more of you, all I want is more of you. I'm living for this call, lay down my life into your hands. I'm living for the truth, the hope of the world. In you I'll stand, and all I want is you, all I want is is you. All I want is you. All I want is you.
Good morning, everybody. How's your week been? I'm hearing mixed reactions in the room here. Some great, some cold. There is many things that have been going on this week for many people in our community. And for some of us in this community, it's in fact been a week mixed with sadness, yet wrapped in resurrection hope and peace. For on Wednesday morning this past week, our brother in Christ, Jesse Walker, was called to his eternal home. He passed away at the Laurel Hospice at Flinders Medical Centre on Wednesday, the 13th of July. The family inform us that Jesse's funeral will be held on Tuesday the 23rd of July at 2 p.m. at the Victor Harbour Bowling Club. There'll be a live stream of the funeral, and the details for the live stream link will come out at a later date. Trish and Bryce and family wish to extend their thanks to you, their congregation, for your support, your prayers over the entire journey of Jesse's illness. As a community, I encourage you to continue to show your support and care to Trish and Bryce in the days, weeks, months and years ahead as they grieve the death of their son, Jesse. As we worship today, though, may the peace of our risen Lord Jesus be with us, knowing that Jesse now worships together with all the company of heaven and joins us in giving praise to the Lord Jesus this day. For those of you who know a little bit of Jesse's life story, you will know that Pastor Michael Parker baptized him at the age of 13. In our baptism, we receive incredible gifts and promises from our Lord Jesus. Promises like freedom from eternal death and the devil, the gifts of eternal life and forgiveness. And all these good gifts belong to those who believe in the Lord Jesus and trust in his promises. Friends, it's because of the hope we have in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus and the promise that we are his children through the miracle of baptism that we gather together today to seek his blessing on our life. Each day as Christians, we will recognize our need to have our old sinful self drowned and dealt with time and time again. And this happens as we are daily sorry for our sins and what we have done, and when we ask Jesus to forgive us. So let's take a moment to do this today. We'll have a moment of silence. And then I'd like to lead you in a responsive type of prayer of confession where you will repeat the words after me. Let's pray. O Lord, our God. You know us better than we know ourselves. As we come before you now, believers and doubters alike, we all share a deep need. For we are lost without your grace. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our troubled thoughts. Give us true repentance. Forgive us all our wrongs. Transform us by your Spirit to live for you each day, to learn to serve each other, and through the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, to come at last to heaven. Amen. Amen. And friends, by the authority which our Lord Jesus has given to his church, I declare to you, your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God's peace be with each and every one of you. Amen. Friends, it's almost 40 days until we celebrate a very special occasion. 40 days until we celebrate the 40 years of this place being a place of worship. And our management team has chosen to say we want to make a special celebration of 40 years of using this building as a place of worship. And so on the 25th of August, we are having a very special celebration time here. And to help us ensure that our celebration and festivities run smoothly and well, our management team have invited Shani Hutchinson, who in fact happens to have a history of organising parties, to help us organise our party here. And so I'd like to invite Shani forward this morning, and I'd love to give her the opportunity to help us understand a little bit of what is going to be happening when it comes to our 40th anniversary. So welcome, Shani, and thank you for taking up the opportunity of helping ensure that our celebrations are truly festive in every way. So, Shani, what can we expect on the day of our 40th anniversary here in this church space?
We will have a worship time with Rob Voigt, is that how you pronounce it, who will be preaching on the day, who I believe was a...
He was the pastor here when this place became a place of worship.
Which is very special to then have him back to come and worship with us on the day. Then everyone will be invited to stay for some morning tea, a bit of a story sharing time with people that have had different experiences here. We're hoping for some other pastors to come along and share with us. And we'll have history displays, a rededication to continue to participate in God's mission and what we are offering Victor Harbour, and a lunchtime together to share and celebrate what has been achieved in 40 years.
Sounds like a special day that we've got planned here. But what do we as a community need to do over these next 6 weeks to get ready for this special day?
Share with people, please. Get it out there. If you know past members or people that have been involved with anything, whether it's here, the homes, the college, share with them. There's a couple more of these on the table at the back that I've set up this morning. So share that around. if you have any memorabilia or any photos or anything like that, pass them along to me, or Sandra Teely, I believe, is putting mm-hmm. together some things. And RSVP, please. I have left some little Polaroid RSVP cards. There is a table set up just as you come into the welcome hall. We are needing a few people to, or a lot of people, to help with salads or morning tea or whatever your specialty dish is that you take to a function. We'll provide the meat if we're just looking for some salads and some slices and cookies or anything like that that can be easily picked up for morning tea. If you'd like to help with setup or cleaning up or anything like that, let me know, because it'll take a few of us to get it happening.
So it sounds like there'll be a little bit of work that needs to be done between now and the 25th of August. I guess the big thing, though, could well be, and maybe I'll just ask, is there anything that you'd really want to highlight today that we need to focus on in a big way? Is it the RSVPs?
Probably the RSVPs, to let us know you're coming, mainly so we have enough food for everybody. We don't want anyone to go home hungry. And, yeah, then I also know what people are bringing along and whether we have to organise extra things.
So let's say if you are having a conversation with someone who once was a member here but have moved elsewhere and are coming back, and you're aware they're coming, feel free to RSVP on their behalf if you know they are coming. That would be very helpful for the organising team as well.
Yes. Yep. So I think I've left, there's two lines on the little RSVP card. So if you do know someone else that's coming, feel free to write down their name as well. Or I've left my phone number on the table as well, so if you'd rather message me or ring me and let me know, that's totally fine as well, and I can keep track of it that way.
Well, Shani, thank you very much for what you've shared today, and thank you for bravely stepping up to help us prepare for such a special celebration. We pray for Shani and for our management team and all who are involved in helping to prepare for this day. We pray. Lord Jesus, shortly we will be celebrating how for 40 years people have gone out from this place to proclaim your name and your death and resurrection for the salvation of all, and to live as your servants in the world. Help us to continue to walk in love as you have loved us and have given yourself up for us. Bless Shani as she coordinates the festivities of our 40th celebrations, and bring together people from near and far to give thanks to you. For you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Amen. Shani, thank you. Let's give thanks for what Shani will be doing in this journey ahead. Now, today we've got Mark and Lynn sharing our Bible readings. I wonder whether Mark will read from the Gospel of Mark today. Let's wait and find out.
Reading from Ephesians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading comes from Mark. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others say, he's Elijah. And still others claimed, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and leading men of Galilee, when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced. She pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, I'll give it to you. He promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with a request. I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a dish. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse it. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in prison, and brought back his head on a dish. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the word of the Lord.
After hearing a difficult and confronting gospel reading today, I invite you just to remain seated as Derek and Jasmine lead us in a reflective song, which we ask that you just listen to today.
Thank you. Deepest abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans arise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For
May the gifts we bring be a token of our desire to serve your realm and reign, O God. May they be used in service of those whose needs are greatest. May our lives be dedicated to your mission, proclaiming your love and salvation for all. Amen. We pray for Pastor Nigel and the message today. Gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with Nigel as he proclaims your word to us today, as you were with him in his preparation. Be with him now in his preaching, and be with us also as we listen and meditate on his message. In your mighty name we claim this. Amen.
Bring grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday, our gospel reading finished with these words explaining how Jesus had sent the 12 out to preach to the people that they should repent. And the disciples went out and they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And then comes our reading that we heard today. King Herod had heard about this, but Jesus' name had become well known. Question though, which Herod are we talking about here? I don't know if that's a question that goes through your mind when you look at a text or when you hear this story. But do you realize how many Herods there are in the New Testament? There's lots of them. There's not just one. There's a family of them. And they all have positions of leadership and ruling at different times. Here is the Herod family tree. Four generations of Herods who ruled in different ways over different elements of the land around Jerusalem, up to Galilee and beyond. From the time before Jesus was born to the time when the apostles were doing their work. And if we look at the top of the family tree, we have the great King Herod. You may know him best for his leadership at the time when Jesus was born. The wise men were the ones who went to great King Herod, Herod the Great, saying, "Where is this baby born to be king of the Jews?" King Herod was the one that later ordered the execution of all the two-year-old babies in Bethlehem. It was his orders that Jesus and Mary and Joseph fled from when Jesus was only a baby, when Jesus was taken into Egypt. And after King Herod died, three of his sons took on key roles of leadership across the entire region that King Herod had been king over. It was as if the king had divided his area up amongst three of his sons. And Herod Archelaus received half of the kingdom. He ruled over Judea and Samaria. And you might recall how when Mary and Joseph came back from Egypt, they didn't settle down in Bethlehem because that was part of Judea under the leadership or rule of King Herod Archelaus. And so they went back up to Nazareth in Galilee to live there. Herod Archelaus didn't do a very good job of ruling over this area. And within 10 years, the leadership had been taken away from him and this area came under direct Roman rule. Probably one of the most famous Roman rulers who ruled over this area of Judea is Pontius Pilate, whose name pops up in the story of Jesus' crucifixion. Then there's Herod Antipas. He received the regions of Galilee and Perea to rule over. He's the one who was in our story today. He's the one who ordered the beheading of John the Baptist. He's also the one who later on, when Jesus is on trial with Pontius Pilate, he happens to be down in Jerusalem visiting at this stage. And he's the one that Pontius Pilate sends Jesus to. And then there's Herod Philip II. He ruled over the areas north of Galilee and out east of Galilee. And then later in history, we have Herod Agrippa I and Herod Agrippa II, who ruled over these entire regions in different areas and different ways. So can you see just how big a family of Herods we have? So if you ever find yourself a little bit confused like I was earlier on when I was thinking about this message, you're in good company. I too had to do a bit of homework to work out which Herod we were talking about today. Today's Herod is Herod Antipas, the one who ruled over Galilee, ruling over the area where Jesus was first doing his key ministry with his disciples. And as Jesus and his disciples are doing their work, the word spreads. Who is this Jesus? Some were saying John the Baptist, others were saying Elijah, others were simply saying someone like Elijah. But who did Herod Antipas think he was? Verse 16 of our story today told us that Herod Antipas, when he heard about this, said, "He is John, whom I beheaded. He is John who has been raised from the dead." It's only at this point that we hear the story and detail of how John the Baptist's life came to an end. How did John the Baptist's life have such a tragic end? Well, John the Baptist we know is someone who was not afraid to speak out against someone who was living an immoral life. Earlier, Herod Antipas had convinced the wife of his brother, Herod Philip I, to become his wife. It all gets a bit confusing. But Herod Antipas and Herod Philip I were stepbrothers. And Herod Antipas took the wife of his stepbrother as his own. And just when you think that gets complicated, well, the name of his wife happens to be Herodias, another Herod-sounding name. And Herodias, to make even more complicated, happens to be a grandchild of Herod the Great too. Herod Philip I marries his full-blood nephew, a niece. Together they have a daughter, Salome. And now Herod Antipas takes Herodias, his stepbrother's wife, as his own. Could you just imagine for a moment that if this was done as a modern-day TV series, what it could look like? Well, John, he was not impressed. He says to Herod Antipas, "It's not lawful that you have your brother's wife. It's not lawful to take your brother's wife as your own, especially when your brother is still living." And all the way through the Old Testament laws, there are strong laws that speak about this. But Herodias is not impressed by the way John the Baptist has spoken out. She is holding a grudge against John the Baptist and wants to kill him. But she was unable to do what she wanted to do because Herod Antipas feared John the Baptist. Herod Antipas knew John the Baptist to be a righteous and holy man, we heard. And whenever Herod Antipas heard John the Baptist speaking, he was puzzled by what he heard, yet he liked to listen to him. Now, everyone likes a good party, don't we? Parties are always good fun. But it was at Herod's birthday party where everything goes bad. Herod's sharing a party with all his favourite officials from the region. And Salome has just done a beautiful dance to entertain them. And in a weak moment, Herod makes an incredible promise to Salome. He says that he will give her anything up to half of his kingdom. And so what does she do? She goes to her mother to seek counsel. And remember, her mother is someone who has a plan. Salome comes back to Herod with a request to see immediately the head of John the Baptist on a platter. What a horrible situation Herod now finds himself in. He's made an oath in front of his guests, which he wants to keep face with. He's made an oath with his stepdaughter. And so what does he do? He keeps his oath and in great distress orders the execution of John the Baptist. What incredible guilt, what incredible shame Herod would have carried in that moment. All to keep face with his family and friends. Now jump forward with me out of the story, back to that time now when the word is getting around, who is this Jesus who's going around Galilee? Who is this one whose disciples are doing such amazing things? Why on earth might Herod Antipas have wanted to have said that this one who is doing such amazing things and sending his disciples out to do amazing things too could be John the Baptist raised from the dead, whom he had beheaded? If this Jesus was John the Baptist raised to life again, then Herod's conscience could be healed and restored to some degree. He would feel as if the errors of his ways were repaired, fixed, recovered, made right. John's resurrection could be a sign for Herod that he, in fact, could be forgiven for his actions, for his despicable orders that he had made in order to have John arrested and executed. You see, there's a great sense of healing that can come when the wrongs of our past are amended for, when they are made right, when we are given a fresh start. Herod's bold response regarding who he believed Jesus to be gives us also an insight into the trouble that his soul would have experienced. John, the man that I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. There's something in this that, if it was true, would soothe his soul and give a fresh start to his troubled conscience. Surely even Herod, as immoral a person as he was, would have loved to have found a way to rectify his ways. Maybe he longed for peace for his soul too. If Jesus, who had performed such amazing miracles and taught such amazing things, was John the Baptist raised to life again, then Herod's destructive actions had been miraculously reversed and his conscience could be made clean again. Without such a resurrection, Herod would simply have to learn to live with his troubled conscience. If only he could find a way to make things right, to recover what was lost, all lost on that foolish birthday promise. Friends, does it in any way sound familiar? There must be so many stories in the world around us of moments of celebration, of moments of parting, where words were spoken in haste, where promises were made without thinking, where impulsive actions were taken that have in fact left people living with regret. Even if we remove the scene of celebration from this story, there are probably still words that we have spoken, promises that we have made, actions that we have taken, that we regret, that we live with. It might be, if only I'd honored my partner, If only I'd honoured my parents. If only I'd honoured my children. If only I'd not been so full of pride. If only I had not spoken in haste. If only I had paused and prayed about it first. We may all have our own if only statements, our own if only regrets. And these statements simply speak of the tragedy of life. And today we have met Herod, stuck in the middle of such a point in his life. There are times when we will find ourselves in between a rock and a hard place, where we find ourselves falling short no matter what we do, condemned if we act one way, condemned if we act another way. So this past week I found myself asking, why does the gospel writer of Mark choose at this point in his gospel to look back and recall with great detail? And especially when the Gospel of Mark writes his work so fast, here he seems to slow down to retell a horrible story. Why would he give us all this detail about the execution of John the Baptist at such a pivotal point in his gospel? Right after the time he sent his disciples out, and right before he feeds the 5,000? Well, the conclusion I've come to this week as I've prayed over this is it is simply here in the gospel to lead us to hope. To lead us to hope in the face of our life tragedies. It's to help us to recognize our common need for someone who can make all things new for us with resurrection power. Herod's declaration that John, the man whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead, may lead us to notice what we also long for in our own lives. We long for our wrongs, our wayward actions, to be amended and rectified that we may be put right again. And so the detail in this story acts as a mirror that may help us to identify our wayward actions, our decisions that have led us to acknowledge before God that we, in fact, were wrong, that we too seek restoration. We too seek a world where all is made new. I suspect that Herod also longed for resurrection hope in his life, so much so that he was led to make this incredible confession: I killed John. Jesus is John the Baptist, whom I raised from the dead. Sorry, who was raised from the dead. A resurrection celebrates everything is made new. A resurrection is where all is restored and made perfect again. A resurrection is a sign that our errors of the past have been washed away, fixed and forgiven forever. Maybe like Herod, we too will look back and see our wayward ways and the way our errors have hurt people. Maybe like Herod, we will look back at the memory of our wayward ways and we will feel condemned because of them. Maybe our errors have taken away our happiness and left us feeling as if we are drowning in our own issues. We may find ourselves condemning ourselves, even over simple things like missing opportunities. And all that we may seek in our humanity is for things to be made right, things to be restored, so that we can truly start again. And so for Herod to simply make this confession is a huge statement to make. Herod admits his sin. I beheaded John. Herod, even if it is an error, believed this is John raised from the dead. And elsewhere in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, we will hear of Herod even committing to want to meet this person. In so many ways, what Herod is practicing here is the ABCs of confession: to admit, believe, and commit. All this longing for resurrection points us forward, of course, to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, the one who brings resurrection hope to us all. And the way that you and I experience this resurrection hope that Jesus brings is by also repenting of our evil ways and turning to him, to admit our sin before God, to believe that Jesus died and has been raised to life again to forgive us, and also to commit with the help of the Holy Spirit to continue to live as in God's presence, as Jesus Christ has already made us holy. Friends, in Jesus' resurrection, we have the good news that there is forgiveness, that there is healing for all those who turn to him and repent of their sins. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is that guarantee that God forgives us and makes us right with him. And we live and continue to live in the knowledge and the faith that at the blink of an eye, we will one day be raised to life to experience the perfect peace and new life with our God forever. As Herod looked for resurrection hope, we have that hope. For the love of God is revealed to us and demonstrated to us not only in the death of Jesus, but also the resurrection of Jesus. And he brings comfort to all troubled souls. And so may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your heart and your mind safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen. We're going to stand and join together with a song that we know well, Mighty to Save.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. Find me, all my fears and failures, feel my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. The whole world see, we're singing for the glory. of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Please join me in prayer. Eternal God, whose loving kindness is boundless and whose goodness endures forever, we praise your name and worship you. We give thanks that you shine in our darkness, revealing the truth and hope that guides our ways. We praise you for the presence of the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us in times of trouble, who comforts us in times of distress, and who reminds us that we are held in your grace and love for eternity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our adoration and praise, we pray, for you are the core of all life and the means of salvation. May your justice and truth endure forever. Gracious God, we give thanks that in every aspect of our lives we can come to you in prayer. You already know the yearning of our hearts, and we know that you hear and answer according to your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our world. How peace is longed for between and within nations. We lift before you all who live this day uncertain of their future. We pray for children and families living in poverty. We pray for people who are homeless and alone. We pray for all who have lost faith and believe life has nothing to offer them. Merciful God, we pray for your continued blessing on your people. Grant us the gifts of your Spirit that are needed to bring about reconciliation and renewal. Instill in us the courage to confront injustice, to speak the truth and resist evil. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Pastor Nigel and Amelia, our congregation leaders, volunteers, and ministry leaders. We give thanks for their service, the time and effort they devote to their roles, and their willingness to serve. Equip, strengthen, and sustain them in all they do and all they face in your name. Lord God, be with our community members who are traveling. Open their eyes to the wonders and sights they are enjoying and keep them safe in their travels. Be with our family, congregation, and community members who seek your healing touch, encouragement, peace, and blessing. Be with Anne Bartell, Di Welk, Gordon Stanger, Trish and Bryce Walker, and all whom we carry in our thoughts, hearts, and prayers. Grant your blessing to each one. Sustain them with your love and grace. Keep them strong in faith and full of hope. In their darkest moments, bless them with a lightness and gladness of heart, the joy of salvation only found in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, your way is perfect. Help us always to trust in your goodness, so that walking with you and following you, we may possess quiet and contented minds. We ask you to pour out your mighty resurrection power through us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that Jesus may be revealed and your kingdom may come in power, changing and redeeming the world. Guide us to call upon your name and keep our eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, may our souls rest in your embrace, for we are yours and you are ours. Holy Spirit, lead us where our trust is without borders. Let us walk upon the waters wherever you would call us. Take us deeper than our feet could ever wander, and may our faith be made stronger in the presence of our Saviour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Open our eyes to recognize your undeserved goodness and fill our hearts with joyful gratitude and thanksgiving, so that we thank and praise you in word and deed through Jesus Christ our Lord, and in whose name we pray his prayer. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And I invite you now to stand as together we say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand.
Yes, Almighty God, it is right and good that we give thanks to you. For on this day Jesus Christ overcame death by his resurrection and opened for us the way to eternal life with you. And so we give you thanks for all that you have given us through Jesus Christ. You have made us holy as he is holy. Help us to live holy lives. Let us show by our actions and our love and our lives of love and service, that we are your children. Amen. And so with the company of heaven, we give thanks and eat and drink and remember how our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I invite you to come forward today to receive the body and blood of your Saviour, Jesus Christ, for the assurance of your sins forgiven, and for the assurance of life eternal that he has promised to you. Come, and may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Take it. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you.
Come all you heavy laden, come all you broken down, come all you burned and fragile, find rest for your souls. Come all you stressed and anxious, come all who clench their fists, come all whose minds are reeling, find rest for your souls. Peace, be still my soul. The words of Jesus. Come and sit at his feet. Come, it's all that you need. Surrender all. Be still, my soul. Along beside me in rhythms of grace, help me lay down my burdens, help me unclench my fists, breathing a little deeper in rhythms of grace. Peace, be still my soul. Words of Jesus. Come and sit at his feet. Come, it's all that you need. Surrender all. Be still, my soul.
Friends, may the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen you and preserve you in body and in soul to life eternal. Go in peace. Amen. We pray. Almighty and merciful God, you have planted in us the seed of your word and nurtured us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus. Give to us a clear vision to see what is right and true and the courage to live by it, whatever the cost may be. Help us by your Spirit grow in faith, hope, and love. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And as you go into this new week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favour and give you peace. Amen. Let's stand for our closing song today.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, when I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, on the road marked with suffering, and there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
Thanks for joining us today. Thank you, Derek and Jez, for your leading us in music and lovely harmonies there. Well done. Thank you, Pastor Nigel, for unpacking that message for us today, for doing your homework. I think these days it would be Days of Our Lives or Bold and the Beautiful. What a convoluted family history that was. But you made it all clear to us, so thank you. Invite visitors to sign the visitor's book, which is on the welcome desk. And prayer is available after worship on the side over here. Vic Walter will be there to guide anybody in prayer. And please stay for coffee in the main hall, and barista coffee available through the doors and into the kitchen area there. So let's go out now. The way of Christ is demanding. It requires our faith and courage. Christ shows us the way and calls us to follow. Let us go from here, willing to embrace costly love as our way, to seek to serve with open hearts and minds. And may the truth and justice of Christ, the unlimited love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit go with us and be with us forever. Amen. God bless your week.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name.